In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
What is your attitude to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I would imagine that a good number of you maybe have crosses around your neck. There are crosses on the front of the hymnal, crosses here in the chancel. You may have a cross on display in your home. Now, that would have seemed almost blasphemous to the people of Jesus' day, because the cross was a thing of scorn. It was a thing to be despised. It was a thing to be feared. Crucifixion on a cross was undoubtedly the most horrible form of execution that the mind of fallen man has come up with. Crucifixion was not an instant death. Sometimes those who were crucified could live for several days or even a week hanging there on the cross in agony. Many times those who were crucified were left on the cross as warnings to other people not to rebel against the might of Rome. They were hung on the cross, and birds were allowed to come and eat their flesh, and their bodies decomposed and rotted in the elements. If a Greek or a Roman mentioned the cross, mentioned crucifixion, it would be almost like a curse. May you be crucified, Titus. It would be like telling someone to go to hell. This is how despised the cross was. And Paul deals with that paradox that the love and grace and mercy and indeed the power of God should be displayed in a cross, a hated instrument of execution, an instrument of death where the worst kind of criminals, traitors against the empire, runaway slaves, were nailed up and put to death for their crimes. Paul comes straight out and says it, "For the word of the cross is folly." Actually, that would be, "is a foolish thing to those who are perishing, those who lack faith in Christ. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise,' says the Lord, 'and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart.'" By the cross of Jesus, this despised and foolish thing, God was working to save our human race. We glory in the cross of Christ because there on that cross, there on that bleak, rough, wooden instrument of death, God showed his love and his mercy to a sinful, rebellious world. And one forgiveness of sins did Jesus by his death on the cross. Again, this seemed foolish in Paul's day. To Gentiles, a cross on that. And to Jews, well, didn't it say in Deuteronomy, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged upon a tree"? So, how could God work through a cross, through the one crucified on that cross, when that person was under God's curse? But God destroys the wisdom of the wise. God overturns the discernment of the discerning. God works in things that men do not esteem, but God highly esteems those. And so you and I should esteem the cross of our Lord, because remember, there Jesus suffered and died for you. There Jesus, the sinless, holy Son of God, reconciled you, a sinner, to your heavenly Father, so that you no longer are an outlaw, an enemy, a rebellious traitor. You are a son and daughter of God. God has made foolish the wisdom of the world by the cross. You know, ask most people if they hope to go to heaven, and they'll say, well, I hope to. Well, why do you think you might go to heaven when you die? Well, I try to be good and fair to people. I pay my taxes. I don't speed more than 6 miles per hour over the speed limit. I'm honest to people. I put in a good day's work. I try to do my best. So I hope God saves me. But my best and your best are not enough when it comes to being saved. Christ does his best, and then he goes to the cross and becomes a curse for you on that cross, Paul says. He is accursed by God for you in your place. The curse of the judgment you deserve falls on Jesus. And from his cross, from the crucified one, flow blessings and grace and mercy and forgiveness and salvation. We cannot know God in his mercy through our own wisdom, through our own deliberations, through trying to think things out. This is why the Catechism says, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But through the message of the cross, through the word of the cross, the Holy Spirit is at work to make saints out of poor, dead, miserable, offensive sinners, to lift up the lowly, kind of paralleling the way Jesus was lifted up on the cross. Because he says, if I am lifted up, if I am exalted, I will draw all people to myself. And so he has drawn you to himself through the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified. It pleases God, Paul writes, through the folly, through the foolish thing that we preach, to save those who believe. There was a theological convocation of sorts, known as the Reimagining Conference, back in the early 90s. And the idea of this gathering of so-called theologians was to reimagine Christianity, to do away with the biblical ways that our salvation is described, because those don't speak to people today. So one of the speakers said something to the effect, we don't need this divine child abuse. We don't need this cross and this blood and these things. We've got to move beyond that. Well, human wisdom may say that, but not the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God that puts his crucified and resurrected Son right in the center of your gaze in the center of your focus, your attention. So, Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. Yeah, it's a stumbling block to Jews because they wanted a king to come in glory and might and to kick the Romans out of the country and make Israel top dog among the nations. And again, a foolish thing to Gentiles, because how could God, the Creator, possibly humble himself to die on a cross? This despised, disgusting thing. Think of it, though. This may not be good for our self-esteem, but self-esteem a lot of times needs to be knocked on the head anyway. You and I were despised and disgusting in God's eyes because of our sin. But God loved us, and he gave his Son for us. And he works through the message of Christ crucified, that message that many find despised and disgusting, to bring us who are despised and disgusting into his family, to wash us of our sins, to cleanse us, to make of us sinners saints of God. And it's all through the cross. To those who are called, you have been called by God to believe the gospel. The cross is a display of Jesus Christ, the power of God. The cross is a display of Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God. You've heard the saying, well, I could beat him up with two hands tied behind my back. I guess I would use my head. Well, Paul says something like that when he says the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God on display there on the cross is stronger than men, because it is through that cross of Christ that God has overcome the devil, has beaten him, has overcome sin, has vanquished it, has overcome death by himself dying and tasting death for you and me and being raised again. Never let it be said at Mount Olive that the word of the cross is folly to us. May each one of us, as we come to the altar this day to receive the fruits of that cross, Jesus' body and blood in the sacrament, may each one of us resolve to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And may that cross and the one crucified there be the foundation of our faith in this world and certainly for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.